Blessed be God, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war, my fingers to fight, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above, rid me, and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David, his servant, from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord, Jehovah. Our text is verse 12. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. May the Lord grant his blessing to the reading and the preaching of his word. Beloved, last week on New Year's, as we read in 1 Corinthians, there the Apostle Paul, dealing with the divisions in the church, wants to point out the oneness of the church, and he does so with two pictures, didn't he? He and his fellow apostles, preachers, are those husbandmen working in agriculture. God has to give the increase. And Paul, with his fellow apostles and preachers, are those who are workmen building a house or a building. And we've got those same concepts here in the Old Testament, don't we? When it comes to the desire of God's people. Pictured as a strong plant or pictured as a polished cornerstone in a building. That is a prayer, it's a desire for the rising generation, sons and daughters. And that desire is for those sons and daughters over against what we read in the psalm as the strange children. Strange children, not of the covenant, not like us, who are lying, who deceive, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Verse 8. David is the writer of this psalm. He who took care of his father's sheep in their pastures. He who had to flee for his life, because it was sought by King Saul, was made a king, finally. A king over Judah and Jerusalem first, and then finally, years later, over all the 12 tribes of Israel. And David was a warrior king, wasn't he? David was used by God to drive out all the enemies from the land, the Canaanites, the Philistines, the Moabites, the Edomites, the Amalekites, a warrior king, so that God's people could have peace in their land and prosperity, which we see especially in his son Solomon. Well, this psalm was written later on in David's life. Enjoying peace in the land. Never perfect peace, is there? Always God's people will have enemies. Always the enemies around and enemies even within Israel would seek cause against God and his kingdom. Now, it's not just the Philistines and it's not just the Moabites or the Ammonites. But yes, there were those within Israel that rebelled against their king, even in David's own household, Absalom. And they are called strange children. Verse 7, send forth thy hand from above and rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children whose mouth speaketh vanity. Their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. And again, verse 11, rid me, deliver me from the hand of strange children whose mouth speaketh vanity and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. It is in the way of the destruction of those strange children that God's children can enjoy prosperity and peace in his kingdom. So David is not only praying for the destruction of those strange children, but now in our text, he offers prayer. He offers prayer for all the true children of God, the children of the kingdom. He prays for all of them. A prayer for our sons and daughters. Notice that's what David says here. That our sons and our daughters, and I'll get back to that pronoun later on. Notice with me the desire then, the contents of the desire. Notice second of all, the necessary prayer for this. And then thirdly, God's wonderful answer. In this psalm, David is praying for, desires the prosperity of his kingdom. As great as the benefits are to that kingdom, so also the greatness of the difficulties that would rob us of those benefits. So David says, rid me, deliver me from the hand of strange children. And that way, David prays really as a type of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ praying for his church, for his sons and his daughters, even as Jesus said to Peter, didn't he? I've prayed for thee, that Satan may not have thee. So that there are children, sons and daughters. Prosperity, that the garners, verse 13, may be full. That our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands. That our oxen may be strong to labor. That there be no breaking in or going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. He's praying for the greatness, the prosperity, the peace of God's people, his kingdom. And you'll notice what is foremost. As he looks at the prosperity, the greatness, the peace of the kingdom, foremost is our sons and our daughters. experience God's blessing, what's most important is sons and daughters. And after he lists all those things, verse 15, he says, happy. Happy indeed is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is Jehovah. So the very top of the list of the blessings, the benefits that God's people receive are strong sons and beautiful daughters. And he's speaking here of all the sons and daughters in his kingdom. He's looking there to the future, the rising generations. How urgent that is. How urgent today that we, as we look to the future of the church, that our sons may be strong as plants, that our daughters may be beautiful as cornerstones. Well, that's the prosperity of the kingdom, beginning primarily in those children that the God gives us. And notice that in our text, David desires that our sons will be like plants. Now, we're not told what kind of plants they are. We sing in number 360 that they may be like olive plants. Or, as we sang from Psalm 1, that they may be trees by the sides of living water. So it's plants in general. It's not specified what kind of a plant here. But what is pictured by this plant is strong, vigorous life. A healthy green plant that springs up and grows. And that plant has deep roots, doesn't it? Deep roots, Psalm 80, verse 9. Deep roots in God and in His Word. You might have some plants that you try to get rid of out of your yard, maybe a tree or maybe as a weed. It's hard to just get that plant. For not only is there that which is above the ground, but it is the deep roots down in the ground that you have to dig up. Plants. Lively, vigor, strength, deep roots. That they grow up, the passage says. They grow upwards toward heaven. Ordinarily, plants don't creep sideways or they don't grow down, but they grow up toward the sunshine, up to the heavens. And those plants, fourthly, grow fruit, don't they? Psalm 1, verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. How wonderful is springtime, isn't it? When we see the plants in the garden, when we see the trees budding out, becoming green, healthy, and strong. Well, that's the desire that David has, that we have for our sons. That they have vigorous life, that they are strong. Well, why do they have to be strong? Well, plants need to be strong because there can be sometimes drought, there can sometimes be too much rain, there can be sometimes strong winds. They need to be strong in order to withstand that. So our sons need to be strong because of sin, because of Satan who comes tempting, because of the world that we live in. Our sons need to be strong to do battle. They need to be spiritually strong in order to fight. That's what David's talking about in the psalm, isn't it? Psalm 144, verse 1. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. That means we need sons who are strong, who are adept at handling God's word. For the word of God is that sword in the fighting man's hand, isn't it, in this world, the child of God. We don't fight with words, with swords, actual guns, but we fight the sword that is given to us, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. We need that Word of God, and we need sons that are adept in that Word of God, rooted in that Word of God, because our enemies are spiritual enemies. The sin within us, the sin around us, Satan and his whole host. We pray for sons who have a strong, vigorous life to fight. Plants are, second of all, very able to endure, aren't they? They're resilient. There could be a long period of cold, or there could be a long period of rain or lack of sunshine, but then if you forget to water your plant for a while, you give it water, and there it comes back again. We need sons that are resilient. Attacked by Satan, they come back strong. We look for that. That they're not blown over with the wind. That they don't cave in to the cares of the world, but resilient. Thirdly, we need sons that have deep roots, don't they? Rooted in God and in His Word. Sons that have deep convictions in their heart, a deep love, a deep faith in and for Jesus Christ. Roots that dig deeply into God's Word, dig deeply into Christ Himself. On Christ, the rock, I stand. We need sons, beloved. We desire sons that, like plants, grow upward to heaven. A picture there is devoted to God, devoted to His kingdom, and living in consecration to God. Not crooked sons. Not crooked sons who depend upon and look to Philistia or to Moab or to Syria, but sons who are pointed upward to God, devoted to God with heart, soul, mind, and strength. That is, sons with a pious inclination, godly tendencies, devoted to God, upward. And plants, sons like plants that bear fruit, much fruit. Much fruit for the glory of God and much fruit for the good of the church. So, sons, like plants, now notice from the text, that are grown up when? Not someday when they get old, but grow up in their youth. It's a prayer that our sons will mature quickly. What a needed prayer that is. Because we live in a world that is very promiscuous, don't we? We live in a world in which the world says the children have a right to be godless. The children have to grow through those kind of things. They can be profane for a while. They can sow their wild oats. It's just a phase of life, they say. It's a stage of development. So, yes, they're going to live like the devil for a while, but hopefully, eventually, they'll turn around. It's not that kind of permissiveness of the world. The desire of the church, the desire of David, was for sons that would grow up in their youth. Because in their youth they have to do battle, don't they? In their youth they have to fight. What good are weak sons that cave in to the enemies? We need sons that mature quickly because they're going to be husbands, because they're going to be fathers in families, because they're going to be office bearers in the church. And it's so soon. They need to be strong, not rebels. And usually there can be those strong individuals if they are strong already in their youth. Not someday. The farmer, when he plants his corn, if there's a long period of cold weather or if there's a lot of water setting on top of the ground, I was raised on a clay farm, the corn would grow up yellow and sickly when it came through the ground. And it never really became much of anything later on, did it? That corn needs to be healthy and strong as it's small and then it sprouts up. And so our sons need to be strong in their youth. We need to expect that of them and train them for that and demand that of them. Spiritually minded. But God's people have not only a godly desire for these strong sons, but also a desire for their daughters. Yes, daughters are very important. A country like China, or many Muslim countries, what's the most important is boys, sons, the one-child policy in China. And girls are only important, well, in order to have more sons. But not so with the Word of God. The desire for the godly, for David, is not only for strong sons, but also beautiful daughters. And so where there's prayers for sons, there are prayers daily also for daughters. Daughters that are, in the text, cornerstones. What's important about a cornerstone? It's on the corner there, and it joins together two different walls. It holds the building together, and on top of that building, the roof sets. We need daughters who are cornerstones, who hold the household together. As mothers, as wives, we need daughters that hold the church together in their love and their concern and the connection of the various families of the church, inviting them over into their homes. Cornerstones, not the cornerstone. The cornerstone of the church is Christ Jesus, isn't it? But built upon that cornerstone are these walls that are joined together by cornerstones. And these cornerstones in these buildings, whether it be a palace, whether it be a temple, or whether it be a home, were often decorative. That is, they had an adorning feature. It made the house or the palace or the temple beautiful and precious. Very visible, these cornerstones. Not cheap. They're not just lying around in the field for anyone to pick up, but they are hard to find, and then they would be chiseled, they would be cut in order to adorn the house as those two walls are joined together. Our daughters are cornerstones. Do you see how important godly daughters are? As they grow up as mothers and as wives, holding the family together. As David would go off to war and he would take young men off to war with him fighting. Who was left behind but the women in the homes, the daughters that would hold the family together, would hold the structure together. Day to day, today. In our marriages, in our homes, how we need these daughters that are cornerstones that hold the family structure together. Or these women in the church with their caring actions, connecting the members to one another. Notice in our text, these daughters are cornerstones, polished after the similitude of a palace. David lived in a palace, didn't he? That was his home. Take out that cornerstone, and what would happen to that home? It would crumble. It's kind of like those homes, perhaps, that you've seen on television news in the past week in Detroit. Take away that cornerstone or the foundation, that is the dirt that's underneath those homes, and they're crumbling, they're caving in. So our homes need our daughters as wives and as mothers in Zion to hold that home up solid. And you notice that they are cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. That word polished literally is cut. These stones cut, whether it's marble or not, when they are cut, they look like they've been polished. So also, that is then the beauty of the Lord where they are cut. Cut by the Word and by the Spirit. Molded to be those beautiful cornerstones in the church. And what is that beauty? What is that beauty? Not the outward adorning. Boys and girls, you remember the story of Jacob. He meets young women by the well. There's one of them that catches his attention just like that. Oh, that Rachel. She was beautiful outwardly, wasn't she? How Jacob wanted Rachel. But Rachel had a sister. She had a sister called Leah. In Leah, there is an inner beauty that Rachel didn't have. Remember, Rachel is the one who later on steals the gods of her father's house and hides them in her clothing. No, it's not Rachel with her outward beauty that is beautiful, but it is Leah. Leah, who is blessed by God to have a son called Judah, through whom Christ is going to come. Not the outward but inward beauty our text is talking about, polished. And what is that inward beauty? 1 Timothy 2 verse 9, women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not broiled hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Inward beauty. Or 1 Peter 3, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of pleated hair, wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel, but let it be that hidden man of the heart, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. Young man, God's word says something about here, you sons of the church, when you look for these daughters that you're going to marry, what are you going to look for? Those with outward beauty that attract for a little while, but outward beauty is so fleeting, isn't it? Or are you looking for those with this inner beauty, which will be a blessing to you and to your family? Those stones aren't just laying around anywhere in the field. You got to look. You got to seek for them. Marriage is an important thing. David prays for these strong sons and these kind of beautiful, uniting daughters for the church. How necessary with that desire that David is really praying here, isn't he? He's praying for these sons and daughters that God will give this blessing above all other blessings. It's necessary to pray because only God is able to bring that about. We can teach our sons, we can work with our daughters all we want till we're blue in the face, but it is God who has to change hearts. It is God who has to give us this mind of Christ. It is God working by His Word and Spirit that creates these stones and these strong plants. God does that. God gives these to his church. And yes, Church of Jesus Christ, these daughters and these sons that we have, that's the greatest blessing we have outside of Christ Jesus. God will be a God to us and to our seed after us. He gives us these sons and daughters. He creates them. He gives water to the plant. He cuts the stones, polishes them. And that's why we pray. God does this not because we pray, but God does this in the way of our prayers. We ask, we seek, we knock, and God graciously gives this desire to us. God alone. David says in verse 10, it is he that giveth salvation unto kings. It is he. And God does this through means. So while we're praying to God for these strong sons and these beautiful daughters, it means we're also going to pray for the means that God uses. We're going to, fathers and mothers, be praying daily for our homes and for our marriages. Our children will know from our prayers how important it is that we have godly homes and godly marriages and godly families. And how important is the instruction in the home. Because God uses that for the shaping and the growth of our children. It means, beloved, that we're praying to God for our Christian schools, isn't it? That help that has been given to us in our as parents so that in every area of life, in every subject, we're brought to the Word of God. That God's wonders are performed. It means, beloved, that when we're praying for our sons and our daughters, we're praying to God for our church, for the catechism instruction that the children receive on Mondays, for the society seasons, for the preaching of the Word morning and evening. Lord, give to us, shape for us, sons and daughters. It means that we're going to be praying for godly companions. They make a lot of difference, don't they, in one's life? Whose one's friends are, how they're influenced. Oh Lord, give us, through the various means, even through the world that we live in, give us strong sons. Beautiful daughters. This prayer is necessary, beloved, because we live in a world with strange children. Strange children. Strange children in the world that do not look like these kind of strong sons and beautiful daughters. A world in which the strange children are very selfish. They want to look nice outwardly, but inwardly they are like little snakes. Strange children. And those strange children appear on our television sets, don't they? Or these strange children appear in the literature that we read, in our magazines. These strange children appear in the malls that we walk through. Those strange children with their lying tongues, with their deceit, with their vanity, their emptiness. When they say what's important is the outward body, the accomplishments that we do, or the striking clothes that we wear. Strange children. Lord, deliver us from that. But beloved, it's not only strange children out there in the world. But he says, rid me, verse 11, and deliver me from the hand of strange children, those also born in the church. A Saul, raised in the covenant home, covenant family, A Saul who only thought about himself instead of having a fear of God. An Absalom born into David's own house, a strange child. Not following the word of God, but influenced by the world and its philosophy. Oh, David says, rid me, deliver me from the hand of those strange children whose mouths speak vanity, whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. How earnestly we need to pray for our children. Not just when they're young, impressionable, but when they are young adults, forming their homes, their families, and even as they grow up, just as Job, we find him praying, right, for his children, married children, out of his house, he prays for them because he knows the weakness of the flesh, the influence of the world around. We pray for our children, that they may remain strong and upright sons, and that they may be beautiful daughters, connecting and uniting the homes and the church. Why is it necessary to pray? Fourthly, because of our love for the church, for the kingdom. I want you to notice from our passage, I already hinted at it once earlier, that David does not pray just for his own children in his own home, in his palace, but David speaks about our sons and our daughters. Expressed in that word, our, is the covenant. Covenant love, covenant concern. Individualism is an evil in the church. It destroys the church. If we only care about what my children will do, my sons, my daughters, that they turn out good, oh, that's an evil. Our love and our concern is for all the children, all the sons, and all the daughters. We want them religiously and piously educated. That's why we have a tuition assistance fund. That's why we pray as a congregation for all of our sons and our daughters, that they may be strong, that they may be beautiful. And as David, as a king of the kingdom, prays for those kinds of sons and daughters, boys and girls, young people. I want you to know your office bearers pray for you. Your minister prays for you, young boys and girls, young people, young adults, and every member of the church. Your elders pray this prayer for you. Your parents pray this prayer. Every member of the church, parents, grandparents, those who are childless, those who are single, young, old, they keep on praying. Why? Because their eye is on the bigger family, isn't it? The family of God. That the family of God may prosper by having strong sons and beautiful daughters. We pray for our sons and daughters. We pray for that rising generation. As you love and you care for the church, you love and you care and you pray for her children. Our text is a prayer, a desire in David's heart that is uttered by his lips. And so we pray, don't we? Our desire for the church is expressed by prayers for the church, for our Christian schools, for every one of our homes, that we will have spiritual, we'll have upright, we'll have strong will have beautiful sons and daughters. We pray because God answers our prayers. He does. God answers those prayers. God answered David's prayer. He gave him a son. His name was Solomon. A son who would sit on the throne. And in Solomon and through the line of David and Solomon, a son who would sit on the throne forever and ever. Yes, look at Solomon. A strong plant. Gifted with wonderful wisdom, strength, devoted to God. No, Solomon wasn't always so strong. And no, Solomon wasn't always so wise, was he? There was many flaws in King Solomon, and 10 of the tribes are ripped away. But always, by grace, there are sons and daughters who clung to the promise. There was always in Israel that remnant that clung to the promise and believed in God. But not only is there that remnant, God gave to David a son who sits on the throne forever, namely Jesus Christ. His name is called, isn't it, the branch. He is that root out of dry ground. He is that vine that has many branches that bear much fruit. The prayer of David in our psalm is ultimately answered in the coming of Jesus Christ. It's speaking about Jesus Christ in it. Strong. He had roots. He was divine. He grew upward to God and he bears fruit. All those who are in Christ Jesus. He went to the cross, didn't he? He was strong. He was determined. That is, he set his face. How often don't we read that? He set his face to go to Jerusalem. He says, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Willing to die, fighting and destroying all of his and our enemies. Jesus Christ is that son given to David. Preserved. He didn't only die, but God raised him up again from the dead, didn't he? And he's sitting on the throne now forever and ever. And beloved, God has given us to Christ Jesus. And in Christ Jesus, we also are able to have strong sons and beautiful daughters. In Christ Jesus, we're given grace to have power in our youth, to grow up, rooted in Christ Jesus, rooted in faith and love and obedience. Yes, our children are like plants, rooted in Christ Jesus, growing upward. Yes, in Christ Jesus, our daughters are like cornerstones set upon that cornerstone, Christ Jesus. Holding our families together, our marriages together, connecting the members of the church in their acts of care and fellowship. Wives, mothers, daughters, sons, office bearers, husbands, fathers. God answers David's and our prayer. Strong sons, beautiful daughters. We've experienced that, haven't we? If one looks back at the past year, 17 sons and daughters born to this congregation. And we've seen God's faithfulness, haven't we? When 11 young people made confession of their faith, God is faithful. God is merciful. He gives to his church strong sons, beautiful daughters. And now our prayer is not only thanking God for these sons and daughters, but it's a prayer asking God to preserve them. Keep them that way. For as the psalm ends, happy is that people. Blessed is that people. That such is the case. Yes, blessed, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Strong sons, beautiful daughters. Amen. Lord, we thank thee for our sons and our daughters. We pray to thee, Lord, that thou wilt continue to give us and that thou wilt preserve our sons and our daughters, that they may remain strong and beautiful for the good of thy church, for the future of thy church. O Lord, receive now our thanks and hear our prayer in Jesus' name and his name alone. Amen. Let's turn in our Psalters to number 393. There we have the versification of this psalm, National Prosperity, talking about the church here, not our country, but the church. Let's sing all three stanzas.
We give thee grace.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be yours. Amen.